You're listening to Salt Lake Dirt on KPCR 101.9 FM in Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Kyler Bingham. We are in Provo, Utah, covering FilmQuest 2023. It's the 10th year anniversary of the Genre Fest. This is my first time in person up here, and the festival has exceeded expectations for me. It's been incredible. I've met so many amazing people. The films have really blown me away. And one I especially fell in love with is called A Cotton Moon. And we have the filmmaker here, Zach Hosseini, is here today. Thank you, Zach, for being on the show.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me about the genesis of this project. I'm trying to think about the first question I want to ask you, because I found this one really resonated with me for some reason. And I don't know if it was like the intriguing religious element of it all. I just found it fascinating. So tell us a little bit about the film for people who are listening, and then where did this idea come from?
Sure. Yeah. The film is about this loner in Los Angeles who, he sort of has a troubled past, a hard relationship with his family, and he starts getting these weird TV broadcasts from this weird, mysterious, cryptic guy who calls himself the Shepherd. And through these, he sort of becomes indoctrinated into this religion and this faith that the Shepherd is preaching to him and educating him on. And he sort of takes those lessons out into the world and starts acting on them. And so the idea came from, I've always been sort of fascinated with religion because I grew up in Georgia. So I was surrounded by evangelism and a mega church was like operating right down, or two mega churches actually were operating right down the street from my house. And so a lot of people were really religious. My family, mildly religious, but a lot of people were very, very, faithful. And so I found it very interesting growing up. You know, and as I got older, I started writing this during COVID, and I remember I was watching an interview. It was right at the beginning of COVID, and it was spring break, and a reporter was interviewing some people on the beach, and she was like, aren't you a little nervous about getting sick or whatever? And they're like, no, I you know, God will protect me. And I was like, man, I wish I had that comfort, yeah. You know, because that's really cool. You know, I think that religion is a great thing for a lot of people. But like any ideology, it's something that can be, you know, bastardized and manipulated and used to influence people. And so I wanted to make something not just about religion, but about ideology in general, and religion seemed to be the universal one to lean into.
Yeah, no, it was so interesting. Like, that our character Deacon is his name. And then his dad is a pastor. Mm-hmm. We gained some insight into there. And I think one thing I loved about it, I don't want to, no spoilers, you guys, but I love, like, there's one scene where he's like an Uber or Lyft driver. Mm-hmm. There's one scene he's in the car and with the girl. And mm-hmm. I thought it was going to go one way, and then it went another way. And so it really, like, it really brought me into this guy's world of just being isolated and alone and just kind of, his thoughts were taking over and kind of like a sense of madness it just really was, first of all, the guy who played Deacon did an incredible job. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about like the writing process, kind of structuring out the scenes, in showing us the arc of this character. Like, where did you start? Was there a particular scene you had in mind as you started the process, or did you just kind of start from the beginning and work your way through?
Yeah, the guy who plays Deacon is this super talented actor and producer named Reese Lopez. My first year at USC, he was assigned to me as my roommate, and now we've been roommates for 8 years. Oh. So we've really developed a shorthand in terms of working together, because he was an actor, I was a filmmaker, we were in college together, so it was like, let me use you in all these films and whatnot. So we've been working together a long time, and we just wanted to shoot something really quick and easy in our apartment. Mm-hmm. During the initial days of the lockdown in LA, because, you know, you couldn't go anywhere. We're like, all right, well, let's take this opportunity to shoot a little short while neither of us are working. And as we started writing it, we were like, all right, this is actually really fun. Let's save this. And so we can actually shoot it with a full crew, and it could be something really exciting. So the initial scene that came to mind was, the scene where he sort of, there's a scene where he first falls really deep into the indoctrination hole, where it sort of mirrors the kind of test that like Scientology uses when you're first signing up, and it asks you questions about your life and it's trying to get you to feel a relationship to the ideas it's asking. And so there's a scene where the shepherd, who is played by the brilliant Eric Roberts, is just saying all these things and saying, you know, say I, if you, this describes you. And the only thing that Deacon is saying is I over and over again. But I was in love with this idea of seeing his emotional state just change with every single, like each of these I's had a different subtext to it, you know? So that scene was the one I was most excited to shoot. And it was the one, Race was the most nervous about shooting, but I think it came out beautifully. And I sort of ended up structuring the story around that specific scene. I knew I wanted that to be the midpoint where everything goes off the rails.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing when I was watching it. Just like, I'm like, this is so cool. He's saying the same word, but like the emotional tone of it is so nuanced and incredible. And like, you feel for the guy. I love like the elements of like how he just is like staying up watching TV. There's like this old commercial for Winston cigarettes with Fred Flintstone like promoting smokes. Yeah. I just thought that was great. And then he says something in the film about how like, oh, I learn a lot from TV, or I can learn a lot from TV. And I found that line very interesting. Can you speak to that at all? I just thought it was so, because usually you just hear people talk negatively about TV. Even if we watched a lot, we kind of crap on it. But I just found that interesting. I'm like, that's what an honest like delivery of a line. It just was such a cool, I mean, so simple, but it just was such a cool line that's like kind of stuck with me. So I don't know. I just wanted to ask you about it. No specific question. So go in any direction you want.
In terms of trying to approach all ideologies, that was something that I felt could sort of be the connecting point, because he wasn't just, you know, that it sort of has this timeless quality we were trying to go for, in terms of he's watching like a 50s era propaganda film at the very beginning about like capitalism and social levels in society. And that was a real public domain thing I pulled from the internet, same with the Winston cigarettes commercial. And so this idea that like, you know, people, they watch a lot of TV, they also read a lot of stuff online, and people sort of fall into their things that reinforce their points of view, right? So whatever it may be. And especially if you're isolated in that kind of way, I think you're particularly susceptible to that kind of thing, because maybe you're not talking to a lot of people in the real world. So you're very in tune with these things that you're seeing and these things that you're reading. And so I wanted to try to push that a little bit by showing that, all right, this guy, his entire interaction with the world is what he sees on TV, which is something that he obviously, you know, he scrolls the channels, he picks what he wants to watch, and then that becomes his worldview.
Yeah, no, I thought it was so cool, because it is like, even though he's watching like these old programs or seemingly old on an old like box TV, it like really resonates with like us today on our phones, and just like our confirmation bias, like we all have it on some level, and just like how easily it is, like I think human nature, it's, we slip into that reinforcing our beliefs, but especially with algorithms now, it like we're in trouble. Definitely. because of that. So I just thought it was, you know, just how you see him kind of slip deeper into like he feels like he needs to do something. We won't spoil that. But he just, you know, he slips deeper and deeper. He's avoiding phone calls from his sister. I love night, like the night photography of it too. So just the imagery of like the shots of him driving at night through Los Angeles, I thought were so great. So I'm just curious, like on a technical, like a technical point, how challenges shooting at night, were you like, did you guys like stay up all night to like shoot? I'm just like, night photography, just, I love it. Just like, it just really brings me in. And I think just like the driving shots especially really capture me in it, but it just seems so smooth and like fluid. Just like a technical nerd side, I'm just curious about how you shot that and like Did you have other people involved with that, or was it all you doing that?
No. We had a pretty nice sized crew, and it was actually our first time working with a lot of these crew members. And they've become a part of our family. We've done a lot of other projects with them at this point, the same crew, which I think is amazing when you find those people who you just gel, everyone gels perfectly with, and you have fun, but you also are really focused on getting the right work. And the DP for this film, I work with him all the time. His name's Luke Sargent. He's insanely talented. Another guy from USC. And he is just so, he's so great at taking the artistic vision and figuring out how to integrate that technically without breaking the bank in terms of the budget, you know? So he had all these great ideas for shooting at night and figuring out how to do that in a way that we could afford, but would also give us the kind of standard of quality we were going for. And he was just so great. And we ended up doing, I think, 2 overnights. We shot for 5 days. A couple of them were just in that apartment set. So we were shooting throughout the day. One was on a green screen stage with Eric Roberts. And then the other two were overnights. And they were exhausting. They were tough. But in terms of a technical level, they kind of went off without a hitch because we just had such a solid crew, you know, in the camera department manning everything.
Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed. I thought it was like, just visually, I really, really loved it. Tell me about Eric Roberts. How did you get him involved in the project?
Yeah, our casting director, Kara Sullivan, she knew Eric and was you know, friends with him. And he was sort of the first name that came up for The Shepherd. And, you know, he works a lot, especially these days, and especially in independent film, which I think is awesome. But that was sort of, we were like, okay, that's definitely a great option. Like, let's explore it a little bit. And so we looked around at some other people, and it just kept going back to, I think Eric would really knock it out of the park with this, because it just seems like the perfect kind of character for him to sink his teeth into for a day and just be this, like, grand presence that we're going for with this character. So that's been really nice. And it's been really great seeing it in festivals when his face first appears on the TV screen and you can hear in the audience like, oh, and they're kind of whispering, is that that guy? Yeah. So, it was great working with him. He's a goofball on set. Yeah. He was just, you know, he was like making trumpet sounds between takes and just making the crew laugh. So he was a lot of fun to work with, and he really gave it his all, which I appreciated for such a, you know, low budget short film.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. So where can people find out more information about the film, like social media? You know, I know you're probably doing like festival runs mm-hmm. right now. So eventually people will be able to see it, I would imagine. But where can people kind of follow your journey as a filmmaker?
Yeah, the best place is probably on Instagram, at Chaos Theory Media is our production company. Or you can follow me directly, Zach Hosseini, ZACH.HOSSEINI. But the production company account would be a great place to see when it eventually goes on streaming. And that should be relatively soon. We've been taking it to festivals all year. So I think sometime early next year, we'll probably put it up online.
Great. And then I guess let's wrap up by talking about FilmQuest. The film screened yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience so far here at FilmQuest and the screening itself and just the community that FilmQuest and Jonathan kind of foster here?
FilmQuest has honestly been my favorite festival I've ever been to. And I've only been here for a few days. I wish I could have gotten here a little bit earlier. And next year, even if I don't have a film here, I want to come. Just because it's like, you know, if you're a lover of genre film, this is the place for you. Like, the community is so great. Everyone loves horror. They love thrillers. They love sci-fi. And if that's you, this is the perfect place because the audience is so receptive to that stuff too. You know, you can feel that everyone who is watching these films just loves these kind of films. And, you know, they're laughing at the points that like they're great moments for genre nerds. Yeah. More than anything. It's like, you know. And Jonathan is just incredible as well. The programming here has really impressed me. There hasn't been a single film I've seen here that I haven't thought was at least very, very, very good at the very least. Yeah, and then some have blown me away. So I'm super impressed with the standard of quality they have here and just the community at large. And I think that's all thanks to Jonathan mm-hmm. just being such a great centerhead for it all.
Yeah, I mean, incredible, and I totally agree with everything you just said.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course.
Everybody, the film again is A Cotton Moon. We'll have links to where you can keep up on the journey, and hopefully we get to see it early next year. Zach, thank you again. This was great.
Of course. Thanks for having me.